No, what we're going to do, here's what I want to do. We're going to look at, this is a healing class, right? And this is a class. So in a class, I want to, this is how I'm going to go with it tonight, okay? You're going to have some homework, okay? I'm going to give you some homework. And in this class, everything that I'm going to show you, everything we're going to look at in the Word of God is what we can do, okay? Now, tonight's topic or tonight's lesson, the topic is healing, right? But the lesson tonight is going to, I'm going to entitle it this. I'm going to entitle it Healing, the Ministry of the Church to the World. Let me say that again. Healing, the Ministry of the Church to the World, okay? Now, what I'd like for you to do is let's turn, and we're going to start off in this area. Turn in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 15th verse. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15. This is, some of us are familiar with this, but I never want to assume or presume. This is Jesus talking to his disciples in the 16th chapter. And this is what we always call the Great Commission. In other words, first of all, he was telling them about, he was chiding them for their unbelief, that they didn't believe that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. Remember, he said, I'm going to be crucified, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise. He kept telling them that, right? And what happened? They didn't believe it, right? So he was chiding them and correcting them for their unbelief. But now he's telling them what we call the Great Commission. This is his final words to those 12, or we might as well say at this time, 11, these 11, right? Now listen to what he says. He says in verse 15, do you have your Bible? Okay, I want you to read along with me. I'm reading from the King James Version. Please read along with me with your version too. Let's read. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Where were they supposed to go? To all the world. And do what? Preach the gospel to who? All right, good. Now, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Now, notice what he said. He that does what? Believes and is what? Baptized. Now, when he's talking about baptizing there, he's talking about two things. When you accept Jesus Christ, or when a person accepts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes them into the body, okay? Now, once that person has accepted Christ, that's a spiritual act. But now what he's also talking about is what we do as the ordinance of the church, and that's water baptism. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved, right? Okay, let's keep on going. That's the criteria. Notice it didn't say leading a nice life, having a good job, having a good title, but you have to believe, right? And be baptized, you'll be saved. But he that believes not, what's going to happen? You're going to be damned. Yeah, okay. Now look at verse 17. Here's what we're going to focus in on tonight. And these signs shall do what? Follow them that do what? That believe. Now notice, these signs are going to follow who? Those who believe. Now let me ask you tonight, how many believers do I have here tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, now listen, Jesus is saying these signs are now going to follow you and I because what? We believe. Now look at what he says. He says what? In my name shall they do what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now hold on right here, verse 18. I just want to stop there for a moment. Because some of our brethren got that, they took that a little too literal. There's some churches, I saw it on TV one time, they got snakes in the service and people pick up the snakes, and if I'm a believer, I got a snake in my hand. That's not what he meant. What Jesus meant was, when he said here, not physical serpents, but he's talking about principalities, demonic forces, right? If they try to, if we can take them up, they can't take us up, right? Let's keep on going. And if they drink any deadly thing, what's going to happen? It shall not hurt them. Now, it does not mean that we go out today, we go over to Home Depot and go buy, you know, what's that, the kerosene and drink a gallon of kerosene and pass it all around. And if we're okay, we're believers. No, that's not what he means. He means even if we drink something that was intended to harm us, it won't harm us. Okay, everyone got that? I want you to understand, but we have to be believers, right? If we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, look at what, this is the focus for tonight. They shall do what? Lay hands on who? And what's going to happen? They shall recover. So now you and I, as believers, based on what Jesus said right there, we can do what? Lay hands on who? The sick. And get, what's going to happen? They shall recover. Why? Because we're believers. So in other words, Jesus gave that as a commission. Say commission. Now, the interesting thing about a commission is this. When you've been commissioned to do something, you've been authorized by a power, right? The police officers of local principalities, they've been commissioned to carry out and uphold the law, right? Correct? That's why they wear a badge, right? So we have been commissioned. We have been authorized. Every believer has been authorized to lay hands on the sick. Now, the problem with the church is this. We get it opposite. We think only certain people can lay hands on us, and if they lay hands on us, I'll be healed. Now, I'm not talking disparagingly of anybody, but just keep this in mind. It doesn't have to be the minister of the hour. It doesn't have to be super apostle. It doesn't have to be wonderful evangelist. It doesn't have to be popular pastor. It can be little Sally Mae, who's a believer, and you lay your hands on them, and they shall what? Recover. I mean, I remember when my daughter, Shonda, she's 35 now, but when she was 4 years old, we were in this church, because she heard these same scriptures. She was 3 years old. My mother came over to the house, babysitting her, and my mother started to say, well, you know, I got a little ringing in my ear and all that. So my daughter's playing with her little dolls, and she gets up. She says, Mima, I'll pray for you. So my mother says, oh, how nice, right? So she's leaning her head down. My daughter grabbed her by the head and just, devil, I command you to take your hands off my Mima in Jesus' name. And I'm looking, I said, wait, why did I grab that? Wait, because she grabbed it real quick. And my mother's old and frail, and she grabbed it. Devil, take your hands off my Mima in Jesus' name, right? So I let it go. So weeks later, my mother tells me, she says, yeah, you know, she said, I went home and told all the family. Now, in my family didn't grow up. I didn't grow up going to church. So the people in my family weren't church-going people, okay? So when my mother got back to our family, she told me, I'm telling them that your little girl has healing power. And I'm trying to tell my mother, Mom, she doesn't have healing power. Jesus is the healer. She just laid hands on her. She said, no. She told everybody she's got healing power. She had ringing in the ear, pop, it's gone, okay? So Valerie's great-grandmom, right? Fat mama, right? She's an older lady. So we're over there in her house, and Fat mama bumped her foot. Like, ooh, she hurt her foot. Ooh, Shonda, once again, a little girl. Mama, I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for your feet. I pray for your feet. And before I can get to her, she prays for her feet, and she goes, yeah, that really feels good. That really feels good. Point I'm getting at is this. She was a child. She heard the word of God. She was a believer. She acted on what she believed. And God did what he did, right? Okay, because she was commissioned, okay? Say this. Say, I am commissioned to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So tonight, here's what we're going to do. So for tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to look at healing, but I want to look at healing from the perspective of the believer, okay? I want you to see that. Now, the first person that we think about when we want to look at, we've been commissioned to go out and lay hands on the sick, right? We've been commissioned, right? So we don't have to have a commissioning service, right? Does everyone agree to that? We don't have to have a special Sunday night where we line everybody up and I start laying hands on them, receive. No, you've been commissioned already, okay? Now, some of the church doesn't understand that, so that's why they need these little, calisthenics, whatever you want to call them. But the truth of the matter is we've been commissioned. But when we look at our example, who should be our number one example of a prototype as a believer? Jesus, right? Good. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Am I going too quick? Am I okay? All right, good. I want to make sure. A satisfied customer, right? Okay, Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm sorry. I take it back. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18. Now, we're using Jesus, right, as the example, right? So whatever Jesus does, whatever Jesus says, you and I can do, right? Now, let's see what he had to say, okay? Is everyone there? Let's read verses 18 to 19 together, okay? I got the King James Version. Read from your version. Now, my Bible has it in red, so that means Jesus is doing what? Talking, right? So let's see what he says. Read along with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to do what? Heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Why? Because God did what? Anointed him. Now, we are Christians, right? We can say it this way. We are miniature Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. So if the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, then what should be on the church? The Spirit of the Lord, the anointing. So the anointing is upon each and every one of us, right? And then he lists the things that he was going to do, right? But now let's see that in action. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Let me know when you're there. Okay, you there? Is everyone there? Okay, now let's read verses 23 to 24. And let's begin reading. And Jesus went about all Galilee, doing what? Teaching in his synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and doing what? Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now hold it right there. Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, right? But here we see he went into Galilee, right? What did he go into Galilee doing? What was he doing? He was teaching where? In the synagogues. And then else, what he's doing? Preaching. What? What message? The gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. And then the third thing, what was he doing? Healing. Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, let me give you this. This is the prototype. Jesus went into the synagogue teaching. See, when we're teaching, we're explaining. See, Jesus went into the synagogue explaining who he was, because what he was quoting was Isaiah 61, where the prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah would say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So Jesus was in the synagogue teaching. Teaching is explaining. Say explaining. Explaining. Say teaching is explaining. Sometimes we have to explain things to people before they can receive them. But then he was doing what else? Preaching. Now, what is preaching? It's not teaching. Preaching is what? Proclaiming. He went out proclaiming, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But then the third thing he did was what? He ministered healing. He demonstrated it. So what the church needs to do is demonstrate. See, some of us are good at preaching. We got some good preachers in the church, right? I mean, you can hear them all day long. But then when you try to explain that, I don't know, what are you talking? They don't know how to explain it. Then we have some that are good teachers in the church. They can explain everything to you, but there's no demonstration. What we need is all three. All three are needed. So Jesus did what? He taught. He preached, and he demonstrated. Say that. Say teach, preach, and demonstrate. Say it again. Say teach, preach, and demonstrate. Okay, now let me give you another example. We're still in Matthew's gospel. Go to Matthew chapter 8. And as you're turning there, notice, remember what Jesus did. He healed only a few diseases. He healed the corona, what's that, coronavirus, what do they call it? They get coronavirus. They got new names. You notice how Satan has new names every time, and the world gets afraid of it. Remember Ebola? Remember how bad that was? Legionnaire's disease? And that was a corona? That's what, corona? Corona Queens? Yeah, something like that. See, here's what I'm saying. All those names, he healed all manner of diseases. So it don't make a difference. Like, in other words, We can't heal that. You know, there's no cure for cancer. There's cure for cancer. Oh, there's no cure for AIDS. There's cure for AIDS. There's no cure for this coronavirus. There's a cure. See, the world right now is in fear. But remember I said the ministry of the church, healing is the ministry of the church to the world. Now, the world is doing what it's supposed to be doing, like quarantining off, and they're saying, no flights go to China. They don't want anybody coming out of China and all that. That's all fear-based. But we are believers. And the word of God, turn in your Bible. I'm just going to take a little side road. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 91. Keep your place there in Matthew chapter 8. Psalm 91. Everyone there? Psalm 91. Look at verse 10. Now the beginning of that psalm, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, right? Correct? So in other words, those that abide under the shadow of the Almighty are believers. And he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now move over to verse 10. He says this, he says, there shall no evil befall me. Neither shall what? Any plague come where? Near what? Near your dwelling. So no plague should come near your dwelling. Now let me ask you this. Where do you live? Where you live, right? So no plague should come near your dwelling. No plague. But you see, here's what happens. We have to be convinced of that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He's anointed you. Any disease, any plague shall not come near your dwelling. And if it comes near your dwelling, we're going to see what Jesus did here. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. We're talking about healing, right? We're talking about healing God's, the church's ministry to the world. Now, in Matthew chapter 8, let's pick it up at verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of the fever. In other words, Peter. Peter was married, okay? Just so you know, right? So Peter was married, and Jesus was in Peter's house, and he saw that Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law. So Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Peter didn't do anything, right? I always thought about it. Wait a minute. Peter didn't do nothing for his mother-in-law, but Jesus had to come to the house, right? So Peter's mother-in-law was sick of the fever, right? But look what happened. Jesus did what? He touched her hand, and what happened? The fever left, because no plague should come near his dwelling. And she arose and ministered unto them. Now look at verse 16. And when evening was come, when it was getting dark, they brought unto him many that were possessed with what? Devils. And he cast out the spirits, how? With his word. You know what he said? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach to the sick, right? So here he is. He's proclaiming. He's declaring. He's preaching. He's teaching. And now he's demonstrating it, right? And they're possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And what else happened? And healed what? All that were sick. So can you imagine this? He's in the town. He's in Peter's house, town area where Peter lived. Evening came, they brought people to the door, and they were possessed with demons and devils. And what did he do? He cast them out. How? With his word, because he knew his authority. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Depart from them, right? So now look what happened. Then he healed all that were sick, right? Now look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took what? Our infirmities and bared our sicknesses. So now this is letting you know, this scripture is letting you know what Jesus was saying, right? Because Matthew's saying he's hearing Jesus ministering to the people that are sick. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. That was in Isaiah. So that was in Isaiah, but Isaiah 53:5. That was in Isaiah 53:5, talking about the Messiah, right? By his stripes we're what? Healed. So he says, by his stripes, you're healed. By my stripes, remember, he didn't even bore the stripes yet. He didn't go to the cross yet, but he was declaring and decreeing God's word. Amen. Everyone see that? He was demonstrating it, right? Now, let's move into another area. We're still in Matthew. Go over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, let's look at what Jesus did. Now, in this chapter, several things are happening. So we're gonna stop and look and see what Jesus did in this chapter. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. Are you there? Okay, hold on. Okay, let's look at verse 18. And while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, that's Jairus, and he worshipped him, saying, My daughter is now dead, even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. So you hear Jairus' faith? He's saying, listen, my daughter's looking bad at the point of death, but you come and lay hands on her and know she'll live, right? And what did Jesus do? Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. All 12 of them are following Jesus, right? Now, while this is happening, I want you to get a picture of this. While this is happening, Jairus is like, it's like the mayor of a town, a big, big figure. He's an important figure. They saw him bow down to Jesus. So the crowd is looking, okay? And then they're hearing what Jairus said to Jesus. My daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so she should live. Jesus went with them. So now there's a crowd. There's an entourage. Jesus is walking. His disciples are walking. So now while this is all going on, it's a big crowd. There was a woman, right? Look what it says in verse 20. And behold, a woman, which was what? Diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, and came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may do what? But touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, I know this is not a faith lesson, but faith is always intertwined in anything. So we're talking about healing here. She got her healing by her faith because she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed, okay? Now, here's the thing about this. This account doesn't go into much detail, but if you look in the Amplified, it says, saying she kept saying. So she didn't just say it once. She didn't just say, well, you know, I'll see what I can do. I'll see what happens. And, you know, if I can just get a way in there, you know, if I can just, today's not my day. Oh, today's my day. No, she kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. Now, for us in the church, we don't have to touch his hem. We have him. So if I can just touch him, and how do we touch him? With the word of God. Himself. Say that when you say himself. Bore my infirmities. And by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm healed. I'm whole. See, she had to touch the hem of his garment. Now listen, the moment she touched the hem of his garment, what happened? But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And I like what it says here, and that woman was made whole. Now, here's the key. She not only was she healed, because the Bible says she was made whole. In other words, from stem to stern, total healing. So if she just had an issue of blood, but maybe she might have had something else going on. She was completely healed and whole. Amen? And that's what God does, a complete job. Amen? Now, let's keep on going. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making noise, right? And he said unto them, Give place, for this maid is not dead, but sleepeth. In other words, their custom was when someone died, and remember, Jairus had a lot of wealth, so he had a lot of hanger-ons around the house. So the minstrels would play. If everybody's happy, they're playing. If everybody's sad, they're playing. So they're playing something sad because the daughter died, and they're looking at what they saw. And meanwhile, Jesus comes there and says, Why are you making all this noise? You know, so no, that's noise. Why are you making all this noise? She's not dead. She's only asleep. And what did they do? They laughed him to scorn. But I like what Jesus did. See, sometimes what you got to do, faith speaks in the face of opposition. Faith speaks in the face of people trying to make fun of you. I've seen it. People know you're a Christian. They'll make fun of you left and right. Right? Oh, you one of them holy rollers. Oh, yeah, you know you can't do this. But meanwhile, let things get bad. how fast they run to you and say, oh, yeah, can you pray for me? But we pray for them, right? We don't be moved by that. We don't move. Yeah, we pray anyway. We're not moved by that. But now Jesus put them out. See, sometimes you got to put unbelief out. Before faith can come in, unbelief has to go out, right? He put them out, and then he took her how? By the hand, and what happened? And the maid arose, right? She came up. She was raised up from the dead. And fame hereof went abroad into all the land. In other words, they didn't have Facebook and Twitter during that time. But I imagine if there would have been a Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, somebody would have had a camera. Somebody would show that lady girl getting up. And that'd been so many hits on the website, right? But fame was spread abroad, right? Let's keep on reading. Now, the story didn't end there. Let's keep on going. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed from there, what happened? Two blind men followed him. Now, this is interesting. All of this is happening. Blind men are following him. How are they following him? Class, how would blind men follow Jesus? There it is right there, by his voice. Hearing. Faith, Romans 10:17 says, so then what? Faith comes how? By hearing, not by seeing, but hearing. Hearing what? They heard the word of God walk past them. And they followed. There you go. You got it. There you go. My A students are popping right now. So in other words, they followed and they heard, right? Faith was coming. Now listen to what they said. And they cried out saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, I want to pause there for a minute because they didn't say, hey, Jesus, or hey, Nazarene. They said, son of David. In that time, the only person that you would call the son of David would be the Messiah. So they were saying, Messiah, Messiah, right? Let's keep on what they said. They said, have mercy on us. Now notice what they're saying. Have mercy. Healing is an act of God's compassion and also his mercy. Everyone understand that? It's an act of God's compassion and mercy. So they're crying out to him. They're asking for what? Mercy, right? But now look at verse 28. And when he was come unto the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, now notice what Jesus did. He said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. Now, you know why Jesus said that? The same way God has been speaking to you about some things in me. He already knows what the answer is. He wanted to get the answer out of them. And he wanted to know where they are. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Because they kept crying out, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. So he came to them, right? In another account, he asked them, what is it you want me to do for you? Right? On several occasions, he asked people, what is it that you would want me to do for you? It's not that he's being insensitive. He's trying to get people to get into position to receive. So let's see what they said here, right? He said, believe that I'm able to do this. And they said what? Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to what? To your faith be it unto you. In verse 30, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. In other words, don't tell nobody, right? But what did they do? Verse 31, they ran out and told anyway, right? But God is full of mercy and compassion. Amen? Now, let's look at another area, okay? Okay, let's stay there. Okay, verse 31. Then they departed and spread abroad his fame in all the country. And as they went out, behold, they brought unto him what? A dumb man. Now, that doesn't mean he had a low IQ. Doesn't mean that kind. It means he was a mute. He wasn't able to speak. So they brought unto him a man who was mute. But listen, he was what? Possessed with a devil. So here's what happens. See, some situations, some infirmities are not organic. Some can be demonically imposed. But notice what Jesus did. They brought this man that couldn't speak, right? And he was possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, what happened? He spoke. And the multitudes did what? They marveled. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. When we're talking about healing, there are certain healings sometimes like I said, they're not organic. It's not something going on organically with the person. Organically, I mean physically, okay? Am I saying the right word? Okay. But there are sometimes something behind that symptom. So with this man, him being mute, not all mute people are demonically possessed, okay? Everyone understand that? But Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So the gifts of the Spirit were operating. I'm going somewhere with this. When I'm finished with this. See, sometimes when you're ministering healing to people, the gifts of the Spirit will operate, and you have to learn to flow with those gifts in order to get the manifestation that the person needs. So what did Jesus do? He cast out that devil. And the minute that devil was cast out, what happened? He spoke. Now, what happened to the crowd? They marveled, right? So in other words, Instagram, right? Instagram again, if they had their little cameras, right? Everybody would have said, oh, wow, look what happened. So great fame of Jesus was spread abroad, right? But now look at verse 34. I call this the religious bunch. This is what religion will do if you allow it. Verse 34. But the Pharisee said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. That's what they're trying to see. They're trying to shut down his glow, right? They're trying to say, oh yeah, in other words, he did that because the devils, he cast out that devil because he's with the devils, right? But now, you know what? It didn't stop Jesus. Jesus didn't get in an argument with him. And the same thing with us. When we're ministering healing to the world, there's going to be some people in the world who are going to say, oh man, that was fake, that wasn't real, or you're working by some other kind of, don't enter into it with them. Look what Jesus did. Verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing what? Teaching where? In the synagogues and preaching. I always like to say this. He was preaching in the public, teaching in the church, preaching in the public, the gospel of the kingdom, and doing what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Everyone got that? So now that's Jesus, right? And now listen, now we saw what he did. In this chapter alone, he healed Jairus' daughter, the woman with the issue of blood, two blind men, a man possessed with a demonic spirit, and the multitude. He healed all the multitude of all sickness and all disease. So we need to be teaching, preaching, and demonstrating. Amen? Everyone got that? Now, that was Jesus, right? Now, I'm going to show you that what Jesus did, he was our prototype. We, too, the church, can do the same thing. So let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, that's the church in action. I always like the book of Acts. I always call the book of Acts the church in action. Amen? Because there's action going on in Acts. Now, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Okay? But I'll tell you what, keep your place there. Move to the chapter 1. Let's look at chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he's about to ascend, right? And he says this, or to the believers that were with him too. He says, but you shall receive what? Power after what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto what? The uttermost parts of the earth. So in other words, Jesus is telling them after, you know, stay here in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit, comes to them, right? Now turn to chapter 2 of Acts. This is the day of Pentecost, right? Now look at verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. And let's read that together. And they were what? All filled. Now there was 120 men and women. I always like to say this to people who come from a Catholic background, because Jesus, yeah, you're Catholic, right? Now listen, you're going to like this. Jesus, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was there too. She was with the 120. So Mary, if it's good enough for Mary, it's good enough for us, right? That's what good Catholics say. If it's good enough for Mary, it's good enough for me. So in other words, Mary was there, 120 believers, men and women, on this day. It was a Jewish festival. And now let's look at verse 4. And they were what? All filled with the Holy Ghost and began to do what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we can say it this way. The Spirit of the Lord came upon all of them. Because now God was going to do what? Anoint them to do good works, right? Now, let's take a look at some of those works in Acts. We're in Acts, right? Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 through. For time's sake, I'm just going to abbreviate this. In Acts, we see here Peter and John went to the temple during the hour of prayer. It was like 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and there was a man at the temple gate begging, right? But now, verse 5, it says this, and he gave heed unto them, the man that was lame from his mother's womb, sitting at the gate begging and asking alms. He gave heed unto them, unto Peter and John, expecting to receive something from them. So this beggar was at that gate every day, and he was expecting to receive what? Money, right? He was expecting to receive money. So here we're going to see that as he was looking at them, now listen to what Peter said to him. Verse 6, read it with me. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. So in other words, Peter's saying, I ain't got no money. You want money, I ain't got no money, but I'm going to tell you what I have. All right? But such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do what? Rise up and walk. Say that. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, Peter knew the authority in the name, right? And what did he do? He spoke. He declared it. He declared it. Now he's going to demonstrate it. Verse 7, and he took him how? By the right hand and did what? Lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, doing what? Walking and leaping and praising God. So we see here in this example, Peter just looking at the man who was lame and said, such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And what happened? The man got up, right? He received his healing. Now let's move to another passage of scripture, okay? We're still in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we see here in this chapter a man by the name of Philip. Now, Philip was one of the persons that was appointed to be deacons. But here it is, we find Philip, he's in the city of Samaria. Now, the interesting thing about that, the city of Samaria was a place where the Jews didn't want to go. So I like to think of it this way. Deacon Phil was in a place that maybe the other deacons didn't want to go there, but he went there. But what did he do there? What did he do? Look at what it says. Verse 5, chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and what did he do? He preached. What did I say preaching is? Proclaiming. He proclaimed what? Christ to them. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, say, hearing and seeing. They were hearing something, but then also they were seeing something. What were they seeing? The miracles which Philip did. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think Philip was telling them? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to you. That's what he was saying. He was saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel unto you. And he has given me the name of Jesus, right? Now, let's keep on going. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out with many that were possessed with them, and many taking with what? Palsies. In other words, cerebral palsies. They were stiff, crippled, you know, unable to move, and that were lame. They were what? All healed. And look at verse 8. And there was what? Great joy in that city. So you see, the gospel, preaching and proclaiming and demonstrating the gospel will always bring joy to a church, to a community, to a city, amen, or a nation, amen? Now, let's look at another example. You ready for another one? Okay, let's, Acts chapter, let me turn my page here. Acts chapter 9. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Boy, time is getting away from me here. I was trying to figure out how long it's getting away, but that's good. Are you learning something? Okay, Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 32. Now here it is, we see Peter. Now this is the apostle Peter, right? He's passing through a place, right? Through the quarters. He came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. So in other words, Peter was visiting the church in Lydda, right? He was visiting the saints, right? At that time, The churches weren't in buildings necessarily. They were held in people's houses. So the believers would get together. So Peter was on his way. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and he was sick of what? The palsy. So in other words, this man was sick for 8 years of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they did what? Turn to the Lord. Now, here's something I want to assert. I didn't say it, but I want to insert it here. When we talk about ministering healing, remember I talk about the commission? We've been commissioned to use a name. And that name is the name of Jesus. So when we lay hands on someone, we can say, in the name of Jesus, be healed and whole. Everyone say that. Say, in the name of Jesus, be healed and whole. That's all. Notice you didn't have to have a big theological thesis on healing and why we do it and put it all nice and neat. Just lay hands on people. In the name of Jesus, be healed and whole. So Aeneas was healed. Amen. But let's keep on going. Peter's still going. He didn't stop. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom they, when they had washed, laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples heard that Peter was there, in other words, disciples heard that Peter was over there, they called him over to where they were, right? They brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping, and showing coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But now listen, look at this. But Peter put them all forth. He put them out. Now, how do you think Peter learned that? Where did he learn that from? Doesn't that sound familiar? He was with Jesus when they went to Jairus' house, and all that weeping and all that, you know, she's so good. Oh, I wonder if she's dancing in heaven. No. All that, he put them all, Jesus put them out. Peter had enough sense to say, okay, Pedro said, okay, put them out. See, you got to put unbelief out. They had to go out, right? Before faith can come in, unbelief has to go where? Out, right? So now, where am I at? Okay, so he put them out, right? Now, listen to what he said. But Peter put them out. He kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows and presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa. And look what happened. Many did what? Believe in the Lord. So let's say it this way. That act of healing, remember I told you the ministry of the church? Because Peter went into that foreign area and he ministered healing to a lady that they all knew, the people in that community knew, they came to the Lord. So that's why the healing, ministry of the church to the world, when we minister healing to the world, you know what we're showing? The love of God. We're showing that God is real. We're showing that there's a God that cares about them. And you know what? That turns them. See, healing never saved anybody. Nobody ever got saved being healed. People get saved when we preach the gospel. But healing is the dinner bell. Healing draws people. Signs and wonders draw people. So when people come, then we are able to proclaim to them the love of our God. Amen? Isn't that good? So the people in that town came. Now, let me give you another example, okay? You want another one? Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 14. We're still in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. Now, let's look at verses 8. Through 11, am I going too fast? Am I okay? Is this a good speed? This cruise control? All right, there you go. The commander gave me the thumbs up. I'm happy now. Thumbs up. I hit paid dirt. All right. Now, verse 8. Let's look at chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Are you there? Yeah, Acts chapter 14. Now, let's look at verse 8. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. In other words, his feet, he couldn't move. Being crippled from his mother's womb, who never walked. So this man never walked a day in his life. The same heard Paul speak, because Paul was there speaking. Remember I said Paul was teaching and preaching, and now it's time for what? Healing. It's time for healing. See, it's a setup. It's like we preach, then we teach, then we demonstrate. Say, preach, teach, and demonstrate. Say it again. Preach, teach, and demonstrate. All right, now let's see what happens here. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now this is Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. How could Paul perceive he had faith to be healed? Where do we perceive at? Where do we perceive? In our spirit. But he not only was he perceiving in the spirit, but now something else was starting to happen. The gifts of the spirit were starting to roll. The gifts of the spirit were starting to be moved. There was starting to be a demand made on the gifts of the spirit. And Paul was now going to start to cooperate with those gifts of the spirit. Some of you are going to start to, when you start to talk to people and minister to people, you're going to have a sensing in here. That's going to be the gifts of the spirit starting to move. Just go the next step with them. Go the next step with them. So let's see what Paul did here, okay? He, perceiving he had faith to be healed, he laid down and cried. Verse 10. Is that what it says? He whispered in his ear. What did he do? He said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And the people saw what Paul had done. They lifted up their voices. Now, once again, he's in a Gentile environment. This is an environment that anything goes. They got statues all over the place, right? So when they saw this, the people saw what Paul had done. They lifted up their voices and saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." In other words, Paul and Barnabas. The gods are here. See, here's what happens. Sometimes when people that aren't familiar with God and the ways of God, they'll associate it to what's around them, okay? So that's what happened here, right? Now, healing, I want you to see this. We got a few more minutes. I just want to show you something. I want to show you those were examples in the Bible, but you and I are living epistles. You and I are living Bibles. And I'm going to give you some accounts of things that happened when I was ministering to people. Here's one. I'll give you this one. My wife worked in a health center in the Bronx, and I was just dropping off the keys to the apartment because I had to go to work. She didn't have her keys. So I came to the office, her area, and I'm giving her the keys, and I'm looking, and she looks sad. And we're like, those health centers. You know how they got chairs all around similar to this? And I look, she's sad, and I said, "What's the matter?" She pointed over there. There's a lady with a husband right over there. Now, it was just like this. Everybody's over on this side of the health center. The lady, the husband, and the wife were there. She's laying on his lap, and she says she's dying of AIDS. I said, "Oh man," I said, "Wow, that's bad." I said, and I'm thinking to myself, I said, "Lord, what do you do?" And he said, "I'll go over there and lay hands on her." So now here's what I'm saying: the Spirit of God told me go over there and lay hands on her. Now you just don't walk up to people. I don't know. I'm not as bold as some of you are. I just don't walk up to people, but I said, "Okay, God, give me a way in. You got to give me a way in over there." And I looked, and what I saw was the husband had a little Gideon Bible in his hand. So that was my way in. So I walked over to them. I introduced myself, and I said, "You have your Bible?" I said, "Can you do me a favor? Turn to Psalm 103, 1 through 3, and he read it. While his wife is on his lap, he's reading the Bible. "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits." I said, "Also, can you also read Psalm 107, verse 20? He sent his word and healed them." I said, can you turn to Matthew 8:17 in that Gideon? And he said, "And when evening was come, Jesus healed all manner of sickness." I said, "Can you turn to Mark's gospel, the 16th chapter, the 18th verse? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So I told him, I said, "I'm a believer. And I know it's God's will to heal your wife." I said, "With your permission, can I lay hands on her?" He said, "Oh, please do. So I'm laying hands on her. Now, once again, everybody's watching this. the officials of the place is watching. This is during the time. Remember when nobody knew that you know if you touch somebody you may get AIDS. Remember back in that time when there's a little hysteria. So this is during that time. It's not like now we know. But anyway, so I lay hands on her. So all of a sudden, as I'm starting to lay hands on her, a heat. I'm not saying it wasn't my nerves, but it was like a big heat just came up this way. It came up my back. And I laid this hand on her, right? No, I laid this hand, my right hand. The heat came all the way up, came through this arm, and when it got ready to hit her, you know, the heat was transferring to me, to her head, she kind of jumped back. I said, no, take it, it's okay. And she took, you know, she was okay. So anyway, I'm ministering to him. So now what I'm saying about that is this. When I left, meanwhile, they're both over there by themselves. When I left, one of the ladies came over, my wife Valerie, crying. She says, you know, when I saw your husband do that, I remembered when I grew up and I heard the stories about Jesus, how he laid hands on the sick, and your husband just reminded me of that. That was one, okay? Let me give you another one. When I used to go out and witness, you know, go out and passing out tracts, me and a group of people, we used to go where I lived in the Bronx, and off of the concourse, I don't know if some of you are familiar with the Grand Concourse. You, Grand Concourse? Okay. Over near Kingsbridge, you know, Poe Park, remember Egan Allan Poe? Well, during the time that I was there, Poe Park, that was really where people were like, you know, smoking marijuana, you know, snorting, drinking, all that stuff. So anyway, we're there passing out tracks. So these two nice little ladies, kind of like these two here. And I'm passing out tracks, and a lady looked at me and says, we're Catholic, you know. I said, oh, okay, well, you know, praise the Lord. So the other lady that was in the wheelchair, she was looking at me, right, looking. And just like Paul, remember he said, perceive? So I looked at her. I said, do you know God loves you? She said, yes, I do. I said, do you know that part of his plan for you is salvation? Have you received Jesus? She said, yes, I do. I do. I believe in Jesus. So I took her by the hand. I said, I took her by the hand. She's in the wheelchair. I said, in the name of Jesus, rise. Boom, she came out of the chair. Now, here's what happened. Meanwhile, I'm in a place where they're blasting the music, you know, the big boom, 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 all that music. Jamaican guy. I'm not making fun of Jamaican people. I love Jamaican people. These Jamaican guys over here smoking big reefers like cigars. Everything, noise carrying on. When I raised her, when I took her by the hand and she came up, there were two attendants, two black ladies that were attending her. You know, they had the white thing on. They're jumping around, thank you, Jesus. All of a sudden, that whole place, you would figure everybody would say, praise the Lord. Everybody ran like there was a raid from the police. They took off. Everybody took off. I'm serious. They took off running. And the Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the bold, righteous is bold as a lion. So that was interesting. That was an interesting one. Now, the most recent one, I only got a few seconds on this one, is when I went to go visit Wade, you know, ministering to him. And, you know, we had a good time with him and ministering to him and talking with him. And there was a guy in his room that was very rowdy, very noisy and boisterous and, you know, really being disruptive, you know. And he's a big guy, you know. So anyway, I'm still, you know, while he's making all that noise, I'm still ministering to Wade, right, talking about, you know, the goodness of God, God's plan for us and healing and the scriptures, you know, some of the scriptures I talked with you tonight about, talking with him about while he's there, while he's resting. So this guy keeps bouncing back in and out. So he go back out. Yeah, he come back in. He go, amen. I said, what? Is it okay? I listen. Yeah, sure. Sit. He sat down. He sit in his chair. He's in the hospital room, just both of them. So I'm still talking. All of a sudden, he says, can I get my Bible? I said, go get your Bible. So he go to his dresser, pulls out his Bible. I just want to make sure, you know, I hear you've seen those scriptures. I just want to make sure they're in. I said, yeah, we make sure they're in. They're in there. So anyway, he tells me his name. His name is Lottie, right? L-A-D-E, Lottie. Like he said, Lottie D, Lottie Da. So anyway, I'm ministering to Wade. He heard the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, right? So Lottie gets up. He says, he looks at me, and now he ain't making no more noise. Lottie, the room ain't noisy anymore. There ain't no more ruckus. Ain't no more people coming in and out of the room. And he tells me, man, can you pray for me? I said, sure, I'll pray for you. After I finished praying with Wade, I went over to him. And as I was going on, he said, wait, before you pray for me, man, I just want to tell you something. Because this is what I'm talking about. Healing, the ministry to the world. He said, listen, I want to tell you something before you pray for me. I fornicated. I'm a fornicator. I said, okay. I said, all you got to do is ask God to forgive you. It's okay. Oh, no, you don't understand, man. You don't understand what I'm talking about. I got like 4 kids. I said, that's okay, God. You know, if you ask God to forgive you, he's faithful and just. No, no, you don't understand, man. I got 4 kids from 4 women, you know, and I don't even know where some of the kids are, and I missed them and all this other stuff. So here's what I'm saying. So I told him, I said, listen, it makes no difference. It's okay. If you ask God to forgive you, and if you want me to pray for you, God is going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you because God loves you and he wants to minister to you. So before I'm getting ready to lay my hands on him, all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes to me to tell him. I said, you know what? I said, you got your Bible, right? He said, yeah. I said, turn to the last verse in the book of Malachi. Now, a lot of you didn't know what Malachi was. I said, Malachi is the Old Testament, the last book in the Old Testament. Turn to that last verse. So he turned to it, and the verse says this, and God will turn the hearts of the sons to the father and the hearts of the father to the son. When he saw that, he just melted and started crying. He said, that's what I needed. That's what I needed to hear. And I laid hands. I prayed for him in his back and whatever. And so he tells me, when you coming back, you know? But the point I'm making is this. I'm closing because I know we're a little over the time here. The point is this. Healing. We have been commissioned by God to lay hands on the sick. We haven't been commissioned by God to find out how people got sick and the situation they're in. Let God work with that. We do our part, and God will do his part, okay? But we are to be extensions of him to this world. Because I'm telling you right now, today, what's today's date, the 29th? January 29th, 2020, there's a world out there that's scared. There's a world out there that are in fear. So what we have to do with the compassion of God, with the compassion of the Lord, is be bold enough. See, but it's going to take boldness. It's going to take a boldness that, see, here's what I'm saying. God has never put me in an embarrassing situation. And even when it looks like an embarrassing situation, I know who I am in Christ. So you don't have to prove anything to the world, but all we have to do is love them and demonstrate. We need to start to demonstrate. There's been a lot of preaching going on in the church. There's been a lot of teaching going on in the church. What we need now is more demonstration of God's goodness to this world. Amen? Okay, I think I'm